Hello, everybody. We're going to be continuing Psalm 37 today, and I'm going to be covering verses 12 through 17. The title of this is Fear, Panic, and Repentance. So let me begin. Have you ever felt fear and panic come over you? Maybe someone broke into your house, or maybe you walked up to your car at the mall to see that someone had broken the window and taken all your valuables out. You felt totally invaded. Maybe you were raped or attacked, so the memories haunt you. And think about if you're a military person who's witnessed killings. How do you get over that darkness, that feeling of horror that is ever present? Well, that must have been how the Israelites felt at the battlefield when Goliath was leading the Philistine army. The Israelites were there with Saul, their esteemed king. Now, other pagan nations had had kings for years, and now Israel finally had their much-requested king, so they would always be strong, right? And safe, right? Well, not today. The situation on this battlefield didn't look too hopeful. The prophet Samuel had warned Israel that God wasn't happy with their request for a king, but they wanted to be like all the other nations. God warned that their children would be the king's possession now, as servants, warriors, and the list goes on. But they still wanted a king. Wow, now they would always feel safe, a king to protect them, when all the while, all they really needed was a living, holy God who created them. If he created everything on earth, then he will protect, he will strengthen, he'll fortify. And they knew all these things. But peer pressure is a very powerful influence. We've all experienced that, haven't we? So let's look at the situation in this battle that we all know as David and Goliath. The nation of Israel, with all the valiant warriors, and of course, huge King Saul, who from his shoulders up was taller than all the rest of the Israelites. With such a tall man, Israel would feel safer. So what was Saul doing now, King Saul? Was he fighting Goliath on the front line? Was he leading the soldiers of Israel with confidence, encouraging them to be brave, saying, "We can win this one, even though Goliath is a real giant"? Was he doing those things? No. He was hiding in his tent. He was shaking in his boots, not showing signs of confidence or leadership, because there was a bigger giant in the picture, Goliath. And Saul didn't think he could defeat Goliath. In their state of fear and panic, the soldiers must have been getting a feeling of hopelessness. Their leader was scared to death, and so they feared the worst. Defeat! No more Israel? I mean, they had grown up hearing all these stories of God bringing victory after victory for their people, their small little nation of Israel. And now it looked like they would be no more. The end. There must have been such a darkness over them all. But then, young boy David comes up to bring food and drink to his brothers and to see what's happening in this battle so he can bring requested news back to his parents at home. I mean, they were rightfully concerned about their three sons on the front line of battle because it had been 40 days. So they sent David. David was a lowly shepherd boy with seven older brothers. He comes up and sees this shameful situation. The Philistines over on one side of the valley tormenting Israel with talk. "You will all be destroyed. You will be our slaves, if you even live." That was some of the talk. David was shocked that Saul and these huge, valiant men were so afraid, so panicked. They must have been thinking to themselves, "If we lose this battle, we'll be no more. And what about our living God? Would he be forgotten? I mean, he had been around since the beginning. He's the one and only who created everything. The only way the world knows about this living God is through us, Israel. Since Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, all our lives we were told what happened to them and how this living, omnipotent, omnipresent God delivered them through unbelievable feats, made covenants with them, and made them promises for the future. But now? Was it over? How could this happen? Let's look at Psalm 37, verses 12 through 17. The wicked plots against the righteous and gnashes his teeth at him, but the Lord laughs at the wicked, for he sees that his day is coming. The wicked draw the sword and bend their bows to bring down the poor and needy, to slay those whose way is upright. Their sword shall enter their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. Better is the little that the righteous has than the abundance of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. David wrote this psalm in his old age, reflecting his life. So this psalm sounds a lot like the encounter with Goliath, but it also sounds like many other battles and struggles that David had during his lifetime. But in this David and Goliath battle, we see David arrived at the battlefield, and his goal was to make sure that God was not forgotten. These uncircumcised Philistines had truly crippled Israel. And David said, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he would scare you guys? How could you not trust God and not commit your way to the living God?" So you see, David had on different eyes than the rest of them. But why? Why did he see this and the rest of the Israelites didn't see God's glory or strength in even this worse situation? What set David apart? How could he have boldness and King Saul didn't have boldness? The mighty King Saul. How could little David, a young boy, not be afraid, and yet his older brothers and the soldiers of Israel and Saul were all scared to death, panicked? What was so different about David? Well, the answer is David had faith. He trusted God. He was committed to God and God alone. But how did this happen? What made David so confident, so sure of himself? Well, in the field, day after day, he spent time with God. He was a shepherd, and God actually used that to teach David. God says, "Be still and know I'm God." And that's exactly what David did. When you're shepherding, you have to be patient. You have to be quiet. You have to wait on the sheep. They do stupid things like get lost. So David had to go find them. And when their hair gets too long, they can't see until they're sheared. So many times they walk around like they're blind, falling into the water when they drink. So David had to have compassion to pull them out with his staff. They would wander off and get stuck. And then David would have to have patience to stay with the sheep and make sure they're actually following him. That's how David knew God. That's how David wrote God's word. He knew God's law from Moses, and he probably quoted it constantly while quiet in the fields with the sheep. David knew God's word, and David knew God. Thus, he trusted God. He had confidence in God. That's why he said, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that you would all be afraid?" See, God's covenant with the Israelites at the time was circumcision. So the Philistines not only did not know God, but they were not even chosen by God. They still worshiped idols. A piece of wood. A piece of wood's never going to win a battle for you. Only the living, perfect God. See, David believed God, and he was so positive about God. He was so sure that he could defeat Goliath. David committed his way to God and didn't fear or panic like all the others were doing. So let's look at the songs of David, the songs that he sang to God. Let's look at some of his words so we can look inside his strong faith and understand how he could be so brave. In Psalm 8, he said, "O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. When I look at your heavens, the work of your finger, the moon and the stars, what is man that you are mindful of him?" So you can see David spent a lot of time reflecting on God. He loved God. In Psalm 9, he said, "The Lord is a stronghold for the oppressed. The Lord is a stronghold in times of trouble. You have not forsaken those who seek you. Sing praises to the Lord who sits enthroned in Zion." Psalm 16 says, "The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance." He was so sure of God, so set on who God is. In Psalm 19, he speaks again about the heavens, saying, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky proclaims his handiwork." And in Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." So David was overflowing with God's love and assurance. But what about in bad times? What did David do then? Did he doubt God? Did he complain? Let's look and see what he says in times of struggle. Throughout Psalms, he says, "O Lord, be a shield about me, my glory, lifter of my head. The Lord sustains me. I will not be afraid of many thousands of people. The Lord hears my call to him. Put your trust in God. You have put more joy in my heart. You, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. You will guard us. The Lord is my refuge and hiding place." In Psalm 16 and 17, he says, "You are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. I have set the Lord always before me. He is at my right hand. I shall not be shaken. My heart is glad. My whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure. My steps have held fast to your paths. My feet have not slipped. Deliver my soul from the wicked by your sword." So he speaks of total confidence and commitment to God. He learned not to fear or panic because he trusted God. In Psalm 68, he says, "As smoke is driven away, so shall you drive enemies away. As wax melts before fire, so the wicked shall perish before God. But the righteous shall be glad, shall exalt before God, shall be jubilant with joy." In Psalm 70, he says, "May all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who have your salvation say evermore, God is great, you are my help and my deliverer." So we can see why God called David a man after God's own heart. He spent time with God while shepherding. He got to know and understand God, so therefore he had something very special. He had a heart for the lost. Not only the lost sheep, but God's lost sheep. Those people who didn't know God like David knew God. That was his number one desire, that others would know God like he knew God. We see in Scripture that he did whatever he could to bring God to the people. That was his number one desire, that others would know God like he knew God. God's presence was in the ark at the time, so he protected the ark. He recovered the ark. He desired to build a house for the ark. The heart for the lost is really what set David apart. Now let's look at what made David so strong. Shepherding? That's where he learned to be compassionate, being alone, be still and know God, writing God's word in songs. They were used to get rid of Saul's demonic spirits. Very powerful. Praising God brings joy to the soul and makes the enemy flee. Killing bears and animals with his bare hands. David had seen God do literal miracles through him during the quiet shepherding years. It was like his backside of the desert training. And many people in the Bible went through this, the backside of the desert training. Moses, when he fled from Egypt after killing a man. Paul, before he started his ministry after encountering Jesus. And Jeremiah was called as a boy, but not used until he was older. So it looks like God was training David since his youth. Psalm 71:17 says, "O God, from my youth you have taught me, and I still proclaim your wondrous deeds." God took this time to train David during his shepherding years. Now, interestingly, I've been through some backside of the desert times in my life, and that's when I grew the most as a Christian. It's hard to go through times like this, but instead of fearing and panicking, we somehow need to welcome these quiet times in our lives. The time that stands out most to me was when I had young children and an allergy that we couldn't pinpoint for 3 years. So I didn't feel very good and was pretty much confined to the house. I constantly read the Psalms and I learned to speed read and read the Bible front to back multiple times. I couldn't believe how the words just came alive reading it over and over. So today, when I'm in the car, I play the Bible on my iPod and I put it on shuffle. So it takes me all over the Bible, which is perfect because I get reminded of all the details of the entire book of the Bible from hearing a chapter. It jogs my memory and it's like reading each book all over again. So my backside of the desert experience was good, even though at the time it was very difficult to understand. So whatever your situation, maybe you have cancer, maybe you broke your leg and you have to be still to recover, maybe you're handicapped or paralyzed, maybe you're depressed or going through massive struggles in life, God can still use you. In fact, it may come as a surprise to you, but God still wants to use you. You can start studying and reading the Bible and maybe even start a website like I've done. Anything is possible with God, but He wants the world to hear your excitement. Commit this as a request in prayer. Write it down like I'll instruct you to do at the end of the talk. Now let's get back to fear, panic, and repentance. The Israelites had panicked, hadn't they? They couldn't function as an army and really had no hope. 1 Samuel 17:11 says, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Goliath said in verse 10, I defy the ranks of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. They didn't want to fight. No one did because they knew they would surely die. This giant was much bigger than Saul, who was much bigger than all the rest. The scripture says this has been going on for 40 days. The Israelite army was fearing and panicking for 40 days from this giant Goliath. But what did God do? He shocked them all. He used a little boy, one who was so small that the armor didn't even fit him. David just used a few stones and a slingshot as a weapon. So let's look at how it all unfolded. David came up to the battlefield and heard Goliath yelling across the valley to the Israelites. And after David heard the threats of Goliath, he said, "What shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of a living God?" When David approached the battle line, Goliath said, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" He cursed David by his gods, ha, as if wooden gods could help him. But he added, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the beasts of the field." Then David said, "You come to me with a sword and a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will give the dead bodies of the host of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord saves, not with sword or spear. For the battle is the Lord's, and He will give you into our hand." So for 40 days, none of the other Israelites spoke any words like this. Only David could know these things because he knew God so personally. He knew all about God. He could go to battle without fear and panic, because he trusted God. So 1 Samuel 17 continues, "When the Philistines arose and came and drew near to meet David, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. He didn't timidly tiptoe over. He didn't slink down and crawl. He ran quickly with confidence." So it goes on to say in verse 49, "And David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone and a sling and struck the Philistine on his forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the ground. Then David ran and stood over the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of its sheath and killed him and cut off his head." So David's faith literally saved Israel. They were not slaves like they expected. They were not dead like they expected. In fact, now the Philistines were all defeated. It says, "When the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. And the men of Israel rose with a shout and pursued them." They defeated them. The definition of David in their minds had certainly changed. Before, if they had to define David, what would they say? "Oh, he's just a boy. Oh, he's so weak." That's what Saul said. And that's what David's big brother said. And finally, that's what Goliath said. They were trying to define David as a weak boy, a lowly, simple shepherd boy who had no business on the battlefield. But how did David define himself? He said, brave enough to kill lions and bears with bare hands, mighty, powerful, a savior of sheep and lambs who could save armies and, yes, kings like Saul. David's definition of himself was faith. His faith in God could move mountains. So David wouldn't let anyone define him. He just ran into battle with an ironclad faith, solid. So what about you? Are you allowing people to define you? Weak? Sick? No good? Not useful? You know, I was the youngest of 8 children, and many times I felt defined as stupid or dumb. That's just what happens to the youngest child. But it made me stronger. I wasn't going to allow them to define me. When I was saved, that became easier for me because I had faith in God now. Where will you run when you feel fear and panic? To the world or to God? Make sure you run to God first. He is the author and creator of life, so He has all the answers. He doesn't tell you that you're dumb or stupid. He gives you strength and confidence. So let's say you have a fearful situation, and you're in a total state of panic. Maybe you're having a reaction to medicine that you're taking for allergies. Maybe you're addicted to some medication or having terrible side effects from it. Today, there's so many things that could make you fearful and make you totally panicked. Stop and write it down. Pray about it. If you don't, then how will you know what God might have you do to fix it? Right now, you're just shaking in your boots like Saul. You are hiding behind the curtains of the tents in the battlefield. Run into battle like David by taking time to search the scriptures for verses that comfort you in this situation and use them to write down your request to God. God says, ask and you shall receive. He doesn't say fear and panic. No, you have to ask and search the word for answers. While you do this, you'll find yourself repenting of the fear and panic that you've been experiencing. And then your trust, committing your way to God for answers, will slowly take over your life. Then when you find yourself fearing and panicking in future situations, you'll look back and go, oh yeah, I need to go write this down so I don't worry about it so much. So here's how you get started. Get a sheet of paper or a pad of paper. Title it Requests at the top of the page. On the far left, write the date of your request, followed by a title of your request to the right of the date. Now box that little title in so that you can easily remember which request is which. Now find a verse to put with each request. Or if you don't have time for each request, I'll give you a master verse to pray. It's Psalm 5:3. I lay my requests before you and wait in expectation. Next, find a special place in your house to pray. Have that be your home base. Maybe a closet, maybe by your bed, or in a spare bedroom by a special chair. Keep the requests list there, and that way you can keep praying the requests and add to them. You can look back and see God's faithful answers to your requests. Some requests are answered quickly, and some take years. God will give you help in His Word while you pray for these requests. Now remember, Jesus said, "It's good that I leave, so that the Helper can come." Once you're born again, saved, then the Holy Spirit helps you every day. But you need to stop long enough to quit fearing and panicking. So you replace fear and panic with be still and know God. So keep going to your special place to write your different requests and find a special verse that describes it. And write the verse next to the request. An example might be, deliver me in this battle of daily life, just like you delivered David with Goliath. God's word is there for us, so we need to use it so that we can get through life more peacefully with self-control and all the fruits of the Spirit. 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. So love is another fruit of the Spirit. So we need to be reminded that the fear we feel is not from God. So we need to repent of this sin, and God will be faithful to forgive us of all our sins, just like 1 John 1, 6-10 tells us. So practice this when you go to God with your requests. Get used to repenting of your fear and panic. Get used to trusting and committing your way to God. Write it down. Run into the battle of prayer when you're afraid. Do like David did with Goliath. You never know what kind of battles you'll have to face in life, so you need to get prepared in your daily prayer time by giving your requests to God. He promises to help you handle them. Speaking of possible battles, I met a wonderful girl at the gym recently. She had a battle last year and was sharing with me how thankful she is for every step she takes. You see, she ran in the tragic Boston Marathon during the bombing. After 17 surgeries, she can walk, and yes, she has her legs, unlike many of the others, including her sister. So you need to be prepared every day of your life during the small daily battles by taking your request to God so that you'll be ready in case a larger battle comes your way. Or you may be called to walk through a battle with a friend like this girl. She had lots of Christian support during her time of recovery. So have compassion for others like David did. Show them love like David did. Help them see God's presence in the world today. Use your request sheet to keep yourself ready, strong in prayer, and praise Him for all the wonderful things God does in your life. So let's read Psalm 37 again. The wicked plots against the righteous and gnashes his teeth at him, but the Lord laughs at the wicked, for He sees that his day is coming. The wicked draw the sword and bend their bows to bring down the poor and needy, to slay those whose way is upright. Their sword shall enter their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. Better is the little that the righteous has than the abundance of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. We can see in this battle called David and Goliath that God did just that. He upheld the righteous, Israel. He delivered them from what seemed a hopeless battle. They, in their fear and panic, saw God deliver them like He had delivered all their forefathers who they had heard all about. They must have felt conviction and joy at the same time. Conviction over their state of fear and panic that caused a 40-day standstill, and joy over the victory won by David, who showed the world that the living God was still real and doing miracles. Now, how about you? Do you believe this about God? I pray that you will run into the battle of prayer with your requests whenever you feel fear and panic, and that God will give you love, peace, and the fruits of the Spirit. Thank you for listening today, and may God bless you during your prayer time.